To our Monday conversation with the political junkie Ken Rudin. Welcome, Ken. Good to talk to you.
Carrie, are you high? I just heard your thing that you just said, and I just want to explain to me what you meant by that.
Marijuana is not legal in Minnesota, Ken, okay. So let that be your answer, all right?
Okay, gotcha.
So is my thought experiment just dead on arrival, or could this happen? I mean, Senator McCain raised this over the weekend.
Well, it seems like almost every Republican is suggesting something like that. They're talking about, like, Susan Collins and even Ron Johnson, the conservative from Wisconsin, is saying we should have been talking with Democrats to begin with. Now, when Mitch McConnell says, if we don't pass a health care bill, we're going to have to bring Chuck Schumer into the negotiations, it sounds like
it's a threat.
But it right. seems like just as the Democrats made a mistake by having only Democrats vote for the Affordable Care Act in 2009, it seems like it's a mistake for just Republicans to hope to pass something in 2017. And it only makes sense if you want to improve the healthcare system of the United States, one would think you want D's and R's on the same page.
Well, I mean, what they would have to do, though, is Republicans would have to abandon the repeal, right? Haven't Democrats said non-starter won't even be at the table if that's how you're going to start?
Exactly. Get rid of the bill that is being proposed right now. Get rid of it completely, and then we'll sit down and we'll talk.
There was an interesting graph in a Kate Zernike story in the Times yesterday, and she was writing about how a lot of the loudest critics, some of these outside groups who have been lobbying against Obamacare have been unusually quiet. And this is what the piece said. Jenny Beth Martin, the president and co-founder of the Tea Party Patriots, said the group's email blasts against Obamacare still trigger hundreds of responses from activists still angry about it. The group helped make over 100,000 phone calls over 48 hours when the House was voting on its bill. And then here's what Jenny Beth Martin said. We're not yet on the yes side of what the Senate is doing. So not only is Mitch McConnell up against Democrats, moderates, conservatives in his own party and the other party, he's also got some of these activist groups who don't like what he's doing. What does that mean for him?
Well, all he has to do is look at the polls. I mean, the NPR Marist poll had 17% approval of the new Republican Senate bill. USA Today had 12% approval. Let's just face it. The Affordable Care Act was the worst bill in the history of mankind until the Republicans came up with their bill. And now it seems like if you look at anywhere at most polls, the Obamacare seems to be very popular. So it's very easy to oppose something, to vote no on something. When Mitch McConnell said, let's vote no on everything on that Obama is proposing, that's an easy task. But to get them to vote yes, and even with just 52 votes, you can't even get 50 votes, to vote yes is much more difficult. And as it's proven now, he still has a lot of goodies he's waving around, he's tossing around. He's talking about $45 billion for opioid money in those terrible states where the epidemic is just awful, like in Ohio to get Rob Portman's vote, or in West Virginia to get Shelley Moore Capito's vote. But it's still a bunch of so-called moderate conservative, not the Rand Pauls and the Mike Lees and the Ted Cruzes of the world. It's the moderates like Susan Collins and Dean Heller and Jerry Moran, who's a conservative from Kansas, but also who have gone home to their constituents over the 4th of July break and realize that this is just a non-starter, just really, really unpopular.
Ken, I want to say something, and I think we noted this the last time you were on. It isn't only the Republicans who are giving out goodies to get votes. The Democrats did this, too. They did a lot of this to bring Democrats on board. And as you note, they passed it without any Republican votes.
Right. I mean, we talked about the Cornhusker kickback with right. Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska. We talked about the Louisiana Purchase to get Mary Landrieu's vote. I mean, yes, Democrats did this as well, but I just don't. And it was unpopular, too. There were a lot of Democrats, Joe Lieberman, other Democrats who said, I'm not sure if I can go along with this. There was a lot of twisting and arm twisting, not only from President Obama, but from Harry Reid, the leader of the Democrats. But given the fact that this seems to be even more unpopular, given the fact that 22 million more people will be without health insurance by the year 2026, talk about the billions being cut from Medicaid, it seems like it's the perfect opportunity to say, okay, let's forget about talking points for a second and get something done in the benefit of the country. And as I just said that, I'm giggling to myself because has anybody ever said that?
Ken Rudin, the political junkie, is with us as he is on Monday mornings to start the week off with politics. If you have a question for him about health care, President Trump's trip abroad, Ken's massive political button collection. We haven't talked about that in a long time. It's very important. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter, at Kerry, K-E-R-R-I-M-P-R. By the way, Ken, do you put on a fresh button just ahead of our conversation every Monday? I kind of hope you do.
No, but I do think of it often after I talk to you or after I'll have somebody on the show. I mean, I often have a button of the day on Instagram. Like last week, after knowing how Putin and Vladimir Putin feels about Donald Trump, I put up a button from 1960 which says, Khrushchev doesn't like Nixon and Lodge, but I do. So just to remind people that there was sometimes when people were in the Kremlin and they didn't like Republican candidates.
Really? What are you making of what's being said about this meeting with Putin? I mean, I cannot follow what the president, I mean, he tweets one thing and then he tweets something contradictory. And then he tweets something else, and then a Secretary of State. I mean, they are not on the same page at all about what happened in this meeting and what it means. What do you make of
it? This is absolutely remarkable. The fact that Donald Trump didn't even hold a press conference after the G20. Actually, it's the G19 because the United States is on a different page completely when it comes to climate change and immigration and trade and things like that. But the story that Trump strongly pressed Putin on Russian election meddling. Well, how could that be if he doesn't?
Exactly.
If the day before in Warsaw in his press conference said, well, maybe Russia did it, but I don't know. Maybe other countries did it. He's still not convinced Russia is responsible. So how could he oppress Putin on it? And then my favorite part is that he's going to work with him on Putin and Trump are going to work together on a cybersecurity unit to prevent this from happening in the future. Well, if it didn't happen in the past, why? What's going to prevent it from happening in the future? I think Trump is also talking about working with David Duke to have a unit about civil rights laws together.
Well,
I
know you're joking, but I about the Duke thing. But
yeah, well,
I want to say
that,
the outrage that followed from his own party's members of Congress. I mean, everybody was just aghast that the president. And do you think it came up in any serious way in the meeting? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, did they really discuss this, or was that somewhat of kind of a throwaway thing? And now Trump kind of has to own it.
Well, I suspect they did. Of course, the only people who were in the room, of course, were Putin, Trump, the two secretaries, you know, Secretary of State and the Russian foreign minister,
Lavrov,
and translators. Yeah. So we don't know that. I mean, we do know Rex Tillerson was in the meeting. But, of course, Rex Tillerson also got the Russian Order of Friendship Medal from Putin a few years ago. So who knows what's going on? I think Trump went in there really with no agenda. I think that Putin went in there knowing exactly what he wanted to do. The fact that Putin came out and had a press conference afterwards and said, well, I said we had no responsibility for meddling in the election. And I think Trump agreed with me, or Trump took my word. I mean, there's no word from Trump except for tweets later that had nothing to do with it. The scary thing is that Trump needed to come out with something out of the meeting for a 2-hour meeting, and maybe they really did talk about that. But I can't imagine Putin's reaction to it. And
I know,
and you're absolutely right. Listening to the Republicans react to it is like, it's just incredulous.
I mean, Putin must have been laughing all the way back to the Kremlin. Robert called here, Ken, to say, just that we were just talking about Trump pulling back from working together with Putin on cybersecurity. And then Robert was curious, what person in the White House had the unenviable task of explaining why this would be a problem to the president? I mean, do you think this is like Tillerson pulls him aside immediately after the meeting and says, consider what this is going to look like, Mr. President, on this cybersecurity thing.
And not only that, I mean, we can't ignore what we've been reading in the New York Times the last couple of days, that Donald Trump Jr., Paul Manafort, and Jared Kushner all met with somebody who was close to the Kremlin in June of 2016, ostensibly because they were offering damaging information about Hillary Clinton. Now, if that's not collusion with the Russians, if that's not Trump campaign people talking about collusion with the Russians, I don't know what is. So you have that and then the president talking to Putin about, let's work together to fight, you know, to protect cybersecurity. I mean, madness is the word that just jumps out of my mind, out of my mouth. I am out of my mind.
Call here from Kathy for you, Ken and Winona. Hi, Kathy. What's your question?
Good morning. Well, I've been listening to, you know, Mitch McConnell the last few weeks, and I'm just wondering if he does he still have the leadership chops to do much of anything? Is there a possibility he might be on his way out? Because
yeah,
he seems to just have bluster sort of in his arsenal.
He's been so highly regarded as a political strategist.
Well, I still think there's nobody better on the Republican side than Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is not an ideologue. He just wants to get something done. I really feel that both he and the president are less concerned about what's in the Senate health care bill than they just want something passed. And I can't imagine, look, Paul Ryan has shown weakness, and of course we saw weakness in the previous House Speaker, John Boehner, but Mitch McConnell has basically staked his career, one, on replacing and repealing Obamacare since 2009 and 2010. So I think he's the best they've got. I'm not sure what that means, but I mean, if you think of the number two being John Cornyn of Texas, who's not widely regarded, there's a senator from South Dakota who doesn't have McConnell. He's not Lyndon Johnson, but again, it's clear that even somebody with McConnell's skills can't seem to get the senators on board. And it's going to be very interesting to watch these so-called moderates, the Susan Collins and the Dean Hellers of the world, because if they lose more than two, remember the Senate comes back this week and he's promising a vote this month. If they lose more than two, the bill is dead and he's going to pull every trick out of his sleeve he can. But as John McCain said over the weekend, I'm not convinced there's any life left in this bill, and I kind of agree with McCain.
Well, and I heard James Lankford, the Oklahoma senator, saying then we should stick around in August. We shouldn't go home if we can't get health care done. Is that going to happen?
Well, there's a lot of talk about saying that it'll be. I mean, look, this is already July, and not that, you know, I don't know what we expected, but when the Republicans and President Trump tried to say, "What have you done in your 6 months in office?" They don't have much to show for it other than getting Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. So,
which is a big deal, but
canceling the August recess, that's not out of the realm of possibility either.
Okay, two things here, Ken, before I let you go. I didn't know that you sold political buttons on your website. Is that right? Because that's what Audrey tells me on Twitter.
I mean, if I have one of a kind, I don't. But if I have more than one of a kind, I do.
Okay, so do you have a political button of Angela Merkel? Because she is my... Did you see that gif with her rolling her eyes at Vladimir Putin? It's so good.
I don't have a Merkel button, but I did see the rolling of the eyes. I love that. I mean, would we be without Twitter, right?
Do you think... I know. Do you think the Germans... Do they make political buttons? Do you know?
I even have a Batista button from Cuba, and I don't remember there being fair elections for Batista.
Cool.
I have it from all over the world. I can't think of a German button. I mean, but if anybody has a re-elect Konrad Adenauer button, I could sure use one.
I mean, she's running for, a fourth term? So there
right,
ought to be
September,
some,
right.
Right, so there ought to be some kind of campaign paraphernalia. All right. And your mystery sound of the week, because I can never let you go without this. Are you ready?
Of course. I am.
All right, here it comes.
It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I do. Just as long as I'm doing something, you're happy to be along for the ride. And frankly, I don't blame you. With all the foolishness and indecision in your lives, why not a man like me? I don't apologize. In the end, I don't care whether you love me or you hate me, just as long as I win.
Who is that politician?
That's sounds like President Frank Underwood of House of Cards.
It is. It is.
And and you know something? I loved that show until I realized it was sounding too real, and then I had to stop watching it.
Really? You haven't been watching this season?
Oh, I stopped
so
in the middle of season three. I got too depressed.
Oh, Ken.
I'm a very fragile figure, Ken.
Ken, they've set up this scenario where, a vice president and a president of opposing parties. I'm only five episodes in, so I don't know what's going to happen here. But this potential scenario where they would have to serve together. So good, Ken, for political junkies like us. Thank you. I'll talk to you next Monday.
Gary.
Ken Rudin, the political junkie, talks to us every Monday. Coming up on the other side of news. So we're going to, as I said at the beginning, entertain that thought experiment. What if Republicans actually invited Democrats in to rewrite this health care bill? What are some of the best ideas that are coming out of each party? And what would they look like in legislation, and what would it mean for health care? Two guests on that, your calls and questions on that on the other side of news. But to Phil Picardi now. Hi, Phil.
Good morning, Carrie. President Trump says it is time to move forward in working constructively with Russia after his lengthy meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Germany. But Trump is still avoiding the question of whether he accepts Putin's denial that Russia was responsible for meddling in the 2016 election. Speaking in a series of tweets over the weekend after returning from a world leaders summit in Germany, Trump said he strongly pressed Putin twice over Russian meddling during their meeting Friday. Trump said Putin vehemently denied the conclusions of American intelligence agencies that Russian hackers tried to sway the election. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson embarks on his first shuttle diplomacy mission this week, hopping between Gulf Arab nations in a bid to resolve a crisis over Qatar that has embroiled the region. The State Department says Tillerson will shuttle between Kuwait, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia from today to Thursday, seeking to ease long simmering tensions that boiled over last month. The UN says there is no end in sight in the humanitarian crisis in Iraq, despite recent progress in driving the Islamic State group from Mosul. A statement today says thousands of Mosul residents will likely remain displaced from the city after the fight is concluded because of extensive damage caused during the conflict. More than 800,000 people have been forced from their homes since the operation began in October. And two major wildfires in California have forced thousands from their homes and destroyed private property. At least four firefighters have been injured as teams continue to fight the blazes. Wildfires in Colorado, Oregon, Arizona, and Nevada also pose a threat to lives and property. More news ahead on NPR News. The time now is 9:24.
On All Things Considered, the news from the people who make it.
Two largest nuclear powers in the world. It's a really important relationship. How do we start making this work?
I'm Tom Cran. The big stories of the day and what to expect tomorrow. Join me weekdays starting at 3.
Have you heard the news? If you are a member of Minnesota Public Radio or a subscriber to the Star Tribune, season tickets for Talking Volumes go on sale for you tomorrow. Sherman Alexie, Amy Tan, Dan Brown on a book tour for the first time in like 20 years, all coming here to the Fitzgerald Theater. I'll be there. Five shows, season tickets on sale tomorrow.